The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Darren Owen in the studio. Three meetings to look forward to. We have jumping at Newton Abbott and two all-weather meetings alongside that. We're on the Polytrack at Kempton and the Southwell Fibresand. So we're going to look ahead to those meetings now. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Good afternoon. Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Good. The flat season is back, James. You must be delighted with yourself.
Overexcited by the return of the turf. And obviously, Maidan was some cracking racing over in Dubai last weekend.
Yeah, and the Monday jury that we're going to look at to start with reflects on some of those performances and has a little bit of a look ahead to Aintree as well, which is only a matter of days away. I'm still clinging on to the jumps at the moment. Still got Aintree.
We've got Aintree.
Yeah, we've got Sandown after that.
The Bet365 just about survives. But on the way down now. But I say Aintree, three good days of racing. So still a little bit left to look forward to.
Yeah, and we'll just have a quick chat about some of the news before we move on to the Monday jury. And I suppose one man that's probably wishing the flat season was still a few weeks away is Richard Hughes. He's unfortunately sidelined after that fall off from Mars. But yeah, it's not good news for him at the moment.
No, definitely not. And it was a nasty fall. Unfortunately, Paul Mars had a fatal heart attack and took poor Richard Hughes with him. Fractured vertebrae, it could have been worse, but it's kind of hard time frame to know how long he's going to be out for, because he doesn't require surgery. It's just rest, but as of those kind of injuries, you don't want to mess it up again and be seriously damaged. So I think he wants to be out for a little while. It is the start of the season. It doesn't really get going until the evening meetings start in about 4 weeks' time, so I think he'll be keen to try and get back for the Windsor evening meetings when the Hannon team starting to get into full drive. Let's face it, when he had that ban from India, he missed a fair bit of the season then, and he still came back to win the title. So it's not the be-all and end-all, but obviously missing any kind of time of the season, it is difficult. But I think it could have been worse, and hopefully he'll be back on the racetrack soon.
Hopefully he will, yes. Let's move on to the Monday jury then, because that reflects on most of the weekend action of importance, and also, like I say, looks ahead to this weekend coming up as well. And the first question is Toast of New York a genuine Investec Derby contender?
That was pretty impressive with his performance, to be fair. A brave move by Jamie Osmond to take him out there. Did UAE Derby, UAE Guineas and that. They're never really that strong out in Dubai. He did it nicely. He's got a nice running style, more for me for the US racing rather than the Epsom Derby, because he's out and gone and he races very prominently. That suited him on Wolverhampton when he destroyed the opposition by 16 lengths in that novice before he won in Dubai. And I just think he's a lovely big galloping horse. Whether Epsom, the canvas there, will suit him so well, and we don't really know how good he is, but like I say, I was impressed. He's got plenty of ability. Whether he's really a Derby candidate, I think you'll be looking more to Ballydoyle and Godolphin for their representatives, especially Cornwall. But like I say, well done to Jamie Osborne. £720,000 to the winner. It was a cracking achievement. And like I say, lovely horse. And a rare flat winner for the owner, Michael Buckley.
Yes, and he's made some comments in the Monday jury, which are fairly interesting, but it doesn't really...
It's kind of an owner. It's an owner's comments.
Diplomatic answer.
He's won the big prize. Like I say, you've got to enter him in the Derby. I think it's a 10 grand supplementary fee. So when you've won 720 grand... out in Dubai, it's a drop in the ocean, so you might as well put him in.
It's well departed, isn't it? Winning on the top
definitely
three made on to
generally the UAE Derby is the highlight of a horse's career. They don't really progress from here, so for me, I want to see him do it in a Group 2 trial with a Dante or whatever if I was going to be backing him for the English Derby. But whatever happens, he's done his job and it's an amazing result for the yard.
Yeah, good results, and I suppose just wait and see how he reacts over here. But can African Storyland Group 1 honours in Europe this year?
Nope.
Moving on.
I'd be very, very surprised. Dubai World Cup, it is on the tapeta. He's far better on that surface. For me, he's really only a Group 3 horse on grass. I think he's going to struggle in Europe. As we've seen quite often, horses that do well in the Dubai World Cup, they don't really transfer it back on the turf. So for me, I would be surprised. Maybe Italy. That might be the one Group 1 they might be able to nick, but I doubt it would be one of our leading Group 1s in the UK.
Okay, the third question this week is, could Just Away topple Trev in taking her on at Royal Ascot?
Interesting. She was, well, was a bitly impressive Just Away. Absolutely destroyed him, the Japanese raider, and most impressive winner of the whole meeting. And Dank, pretty useful horse back in third, was thoroughly destroyed. And there looked to be no fluke about it. A strong pace, course record. Everything stacks up. Rated 1-2-3, I think probably better than that. Maybe a 1-2-8 horse. Trev was very, very impressive in the arc. But she's by Motivator. She's got a few quirks. Interesting to see if she trains on. She's not guaranteed to train on. And how long she'll keep at her peak. So for me, Just Away definitely could be a potential superstar. And I think we'll have to wait and see what Cricket Head does with Trev as a four-year-old.
Yeah, it's a great racing prospect should they meet. But for me, I just think that Trev's going to obviously get the filly's allowance, and she could improve from last year as well if she trains on. And,
yeah.
And the fact that she was so impressive last year as
she had a bad trip in the Tira Gianni. It was a bad ride. She still won very, very easily. So she is a machine. But fragile fillies, especially by Motivator, who's a sire, personally, I don't like. They're very highly strung individuals. So for me, until I see her in the track, I wouldn't be backing her any short prices for any races, but it's great we've got these talking points and we've got some potential superstars out and about.
Yeah. On to the fourth question next then. What is your view on Tapita as the surface for the world's richest race?
It's a hard one. Obviously, winning the dirt there, I went out in Nadoshiba before Maidan was built, and I was there when curling won the World Cup. And European horses don't go on dirt.
No.
So it's highly in the favour of the American horses. American horses don't seem to like Tapita service. We only had one representative run the Greek this year, and he was drawn out in 16, and he never figured. For me, I don't know. It's very
kind of
hard.
A difficult one, isn't
because
it?
They go back to dirt again, you're not going to have all the Euro runners. We all have runners because it's such a big prize, but they don't really handle the surface. I think it's very hard to get a World Cup. Perhaps Polytrack's a slightly better surface. I'm not sure, but the trouble is the heat's so extreme in Dubai, it's very hard to have a synthetic surface out there. So it's a tough one for me. The Shima Classic and the Dubai Duty Free, they're two better races anyway. The World Cup, for me, I don't like the fact the track's very tight. It's a bit like running the Group 1s around Wolverhampton, which we don't do in our country. The turf track's a much bigger, fairer place, and it's a hard one. But for me, the Tapita, the Dubai World Cup, it's not the premier race in the world at the moment.
Okay. Who wins the Crabbies Grand National then? Let's change tack towards the jumps game again.
I think it's just good to get your sweepstake out and pick one out of a hat, to be fair. But Long Run probably is my selection. Sam Wenny Cohen's got a great record around those entry fences. The horse had a nice confidence booster, beating Nakara Bow up at Kelso last time. He's missed the Gold Cup, which, to be fair, I think he could have gone very close in the Gold Cup the way it panned out. He's still of a similar level to Lord Windermere in on his own. So I think he would have gone very, very close in the Gold Cup. He's missed it, so he's had a nice, fresh preparation for this, if he takes the fences. Obviously, he does belt a few fences, which is a little bit of a concern. But last year, we had about 30 horses going out onto the final circuit, which was a rarity. So for me, I think it's a lot easier test than what it used to be. But again, I think that makes it more of a lottery. If you've got 30 horses in contention with a circuit to go, you need a lot of luck. And like I say, last year, I wouldn't have picked Origin Court after the race, never mind before the race. So for me, it's a 40 grand lottery, and I wouldn't be actually betting in it myself, because I just think it is such a lottery now. But it's a great spectacle, and it is a race, and what's the race been known for all over the world.
So if I were to push you for a selection, you'd go Long Run, yeah?
As a selection, yeah.
All right. I'll take you on with T for three at the moment. I need to have a proper look at it, but he's well weighted compared to last year.
Yeah,
just
the Gold Cup prep, whether that was ideal, running him in the Gold Cup. He didn't have a hard time.
No.
Nick Skirford didn't give him a hard race once his chance had gone. Rebecca Curtis' team are in good form. He made it around a nice race from second at Ascot, and obviously ran well last year, but I think it's going to be hard for anyone to find a winner.
That's why it's such a great race, isn't it? Everyone's got a chance, and it's
possibly.
Yeah.
Give me Southern any day.
Fair enough. What else do you fancy at Aintree?
The new one, hopefully we'll see him at his best. Obviously, very unlucky, unfortunately hampered by the fall of our Connor at Cheltenham. Lost 5 lengths, beat 2 lengths, ran a cracker, went second to Sarkanda there last year. I just hope we can see how good he is there at Aintree. Tiger Roll, impressive in the Triumph. He'll be interesting to see how he gets on, if he can repeat the form. But just be interesting to see if the horses can follow up their Cheltenham efforts and see if the Cheltenham form gets boosted or it's proved to be a bit weak. But the new one, that would be the one I'm looking forward to most.
Yeah, it'd be be a nice bit of compensation because terribly unlucky, wasn't he? Everybody knows how unlucky he was.
The champion hurdle, we were all sort of looking forward to it, but I think it gave threw up more questions than it answered, to be fair. Obviously, Jeske got a great ride by Barry Geraghty. Right hand to yours again, found nothing off the bridle. So what's the best champion hurdle? We don't really know yet. So hopefully the new one might answer a few questions up at Aintree.
Okay, well, that just about does it. That's the Monday jury for another week then. And let's move on to Tuesday's racing. James has picked out three races for us. He's gone for two at Southwell and one at Kempton. And in chronological order, the first of them is the 3:30 at Southwell, which is a class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. And I suppose we've got to start with Illumina here, who's banging form at the moment.
He's been absolutely cracking form for Andrew Bolden. Started a handicap career off a mark of 52. Now up to 84, a £32 rise for 5 successes, which is fairly worth that rise. Won very nicely a forerunner event over course distance last week from Black Veil by 7 lengths. Jack Garrity took the raid on that occasion. Again, he claims 7. She's got 9.76 on the back, which is a fair amount for a 3-year-old filly, but she loves the surface. She's in cracking form. She's going to be hard to beat, but they've got some interesting opposition. Obviously, Black Veil well behind her last time at the bottom of the weights. Donna Aspel takes a ride, but I think she'll struggle to reverse the form despite the fact she's 6 rounds better off. Royal Warrior is very interesting. One from one at the track nearly a year ago, one of the 5 furlongs on 2-year-old debuts, related to Dubai Hills. Obviously, the fibre sand specialist, so stepping up to 7 furlongs shouldn't be a problem. Trained by Alan McCabe, would have had plenty of experience at the track, I expect, in some warm-up gallops. So he could be interesting if the market speaks favourably about a Royal Warrior. Outbacker, Mark Johnson's runner, is by Aussie Rules. He's only had a few runners, the sire, on the surface. We had a couple of winners, so that could be a positive. Mark Johnson's horses tend to go quite well on the old fibre sand. Aspirant, another interesting one, was with Bill Turner, been running in Selling Company. Picked up by Brian Ellison for £6,000, given 2 months off the track. Trainer Brian Ellison can improve horses, so another one that's interesting. And Hala Hala, Michael Bell's runners, 2 from 4, only a pound higher than winning a nursery at Fosslass back at the back end of last season. What that form's worth, I'm not too sure. And 5% debut for him. So interesting race, but I think Illumina can get 6 out of 6 in recent starts.
Okay, so the winning runs continue for Illumina then in the 3:30. On to the 4 o'clock next, staying at Southwell. And this is a class 5 handicap over 1¾ miles. And another informed runner, likely to be near the top of the betting, this time in the shape of Kingscombe.
Yeah, we've got another 5% specialist, and I think it pays to concentrate on these 5% stars. And Kingscombe's 4 from 5 at the track, and it seems to be a revelation since stood up from a mile to extreme distances. He's got 2 course-length wins next to his name over the mile, 6 furlongs, and was impressive last time out. He uncomplicated, likes small fields. So the fact he's up £15 for his last 3 wins, up £4 for the last of them, I don't think you can stop him in a race where the opposition looks a little bit thin. No such number is dangerous on recent form. He's 3rd to Kingscombe. He's got £13 better off for 5 lengths, which could entitle him to reverse the form. But I think Kingscombe is an improver, and I think he can probably get the 4-timer up. Bujovic ran behind Honoured in a claimer about 2 weeks ago, but he disappointed. I think a mark of 70 is too extreme for him. So despite the 2 next to his name, I think he's out of form. Coconair was trained by Jeremy Nasida, picked up for £6,000 from Peter Hyatt at the sales in February. Drawn 4, if he handles the 5%, he could be dangerous. Peter Hyatt as well with a small string. So he's interesting if there's any market support, but whether a mark of 72 is a little bit too high for him, I'm not too sure. And Opus at the bottom of the weight probably isn't quite good enough, so I think Kingscombe can get the 4-timer up.
Okay, and the final race we're going to look at is the 4:20 at Kempton. This is a class 4 handicap over 1½ miles, and 8 of them in the lineup. This one's a little bit more open, so what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's another very, very competitive race. We got 4 last time out winners, and Waving won 5 of his last 6, so it's a very, very competitive 1½ handicap. The one I'm going to go for is Swift Blade. I think he can get the 4-timer up. A bit of a recalcitrant character, it could be said for Lady Harry's, but he's certainly turned the corner in recent weeks. He's only up £10 for all 3 wins, up £4 for the latest of them, but he's pretty impressive over course and distance 26 days ago. The hood seems to have helped this character. Like so many horses, the hood's been a key piece of equipment in recent seasons. Robbie Winston gets on well with him, and I think he can win again with a few question marks about his other recent winners. Incendo won a claimer 4 days ago. I think the 6-pound penalty will take him to too high a mark off 80. Devon Drum won a maiden, but he didn't really achieve a lot, and a mark of 72 looks a little bit high for him. Willie Twiston Davis once again claims he disappointed over hurdles last time out. Waving, cracking season for him on the weather for Tony Carroll. Won in Dundalk as well, 2 starts back before 2-mile-1 stretch him at Wolverhampton, I think. But he's somehow hiding his last win, and I think the handicapper may finally be getting hold of him. So I think Swift Blade can probably get the four-timer up.
Okay. Yeah, with Waving, do you think it was the trip was just a bit too far?
I think it was a little bit too far. Yeah. He's up another £4. Yeah. Takes him £7 higher in that last winning mark. And again, he's up in grades against a lot of consistent horses. Flemish score as well. David Ellsworth now trains. Obviously, Gerard Butler got warned off. But that finally got off the mark on its last start 134 days ago. If Stripping Fit first time back, she's dangerous as well. So for Waving, I think it'll be a very good achievement if he can get another win out of him. I think the handicap has finally won. But another one that's on a roll will be Swift Blade. And I think he can be back in the winner's enclosure.
Okay, let's just have a summary then. A quick spin through of your selections, if you wouldn't mind going through your three one more time.
Yeah, I've gone for three winning machines, and hopefully all three can continue winning. Illumina in the 330 at Savile, revelation for Andrew Bolden this year. The three or filly's gone up £32, but I think she can win on her favoured Fibre Sand. Again, Kingscombe in the 4 o'clock up at Savile. He's 4 from 5 at the track. I don't think the handicap has quite got hold of him yet. And in the 420 at Kempton, Swift Blade can make it 4 out of 4 for Lady Herries. And what's a competitive race, you might get a bit of value about his price.
Good work. Thank you very much, James. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Darren Owen in the studio. We have these two all with the meetings, Kempton and Southwell. There's also jumping from Newton Abbott, so tune in to hear all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.